Welcome to the Magic on the Inside podcast by the Sisters Enchanted, where we chat magic, hot topics, personal development, and good old-fashioned life. Brew up something delicious and sit with us for a spell. Welcome to this episode of the Magic on the Inside podcast. I'm Sarah, the founder of the Sisters Enchanted, where we have helped tens of thousands of women to lean into their intuition, conjure more joy, and make everyday magic. And we recently received an amazing question from one of our community members around some basic witch sort of terms, words she had not heard before or had not heard in the context of witchery. And we were like, this is a great opportunity to make a podcast and talk about these words. So this is it. I'm joined today by Anna, the co-founder of the Sisters Enchanted and my real life sister. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy the show. Witch words.
Witch words.
Which word is which?
I was going to just say that.
No, you weren't.
Which word is which, witches?
You beat me by one witch. Which is which? Okay, so we had one of our holistic witchery students who is not new to spirituality, but new to witchery, I think, perhaps, maybe not. But anyway, was like, there's all these questions and posts and things in our Facebook group, and I don't know what any of it means. Help me out. And I was like, I can do that and do you one better by making a whole podcast episode about it.
Podcasts.
Yeah, so if you are listening and you love all things magic and witchery and personal development, firstly, you're in the right place. Secondly, we're gonna do a little witch dictionary-ing for you.
Are we gonna try to stay on topic?
Yes. And also, we did not look up any actual definitions of these terms, so it's entirely based on what we think of these words. I will preface this by saying that if you go to a bookstore and you're like, I want to buy so many books on witchery and witchcraft or spirituality or whatever, chances are if you pick up a book by one author and then another, depending on their background, their belief system, and their spirituality, their approach to witchery, you are going to hear lots of different things. Lots and lots. And that's because there's lots of different viewpoints. Right?
Agreed.
Agreed. So this is ours. All right, so the first word, we're really just going to go through words.
I can look at them.
And of course, chat about them as we go. The first is the word coven. Coven.
Coven.
Not to be confused with that show. What was it that was really popular? What's it called? American Horror Story. I don't watch that because I don't like scary things.
It makes my stomach hurt.
Anyway, so a coven. Well, a coven, depending again on what you look up and the background, it's really just a group of witches, witch-identifying folk who come together. They typically, I feel like, will have the same sort of
ideas,
spiritual belief system. I think that some may be more casual in nature, just like a group of women who sometimes, or maybe men too, who get together and maybe they go hiking and share nature spirituality. Mm-hmm. Maybe they work together under a moon. Full moon or something. Maybe they get together weekly, monthly. I do think that there is typically, though, something in common with their belief system.
Right. And then there are some covens that have, like, coven leaders.
And, like, bylaws.
Yeah, and, like, high priests and priestesses and things like that. Yeah. Nature.
I don't really like to be pinned down. So.
No. You can't pin Sarah down.
Anyway,
previously discussed.
Yeah, and it's not a question that we do get is, does a witch have to be in a coven? The answer is no, absolutely not.
Nope.
And you can even have witch friends that you hang out with and not call yourselves a coven.
Right.
Or you can.
Like, we're not a coven.
A coven of two.
A coven of two.
Plus your cat, and my cats when we're at my house.
I mean, my cat's particularly magical looking.
Yeah. She is. She's sitting right now in a ray of sunshine. She's like, I see you talking about me. I'm a goddess.
No, if you make eye contact with her, she might come.
I am your high priestess.
She is. I am the leader of the land.
You will do as I say. All right, so that's a coven. All right, the next word I know. Let's just keep moving. Keep moving, children. The next word that was asked about was moon water. You know, we get a question. We get this question a lot. Like, this could be its own podcast episode. So let's try to do, like, 1 minute on moon water, because it could really be its whole own thing. The idea with charging water, or, like, oil or hydrazole of some kind or tea, is that we are using our energetic abilities to harness the energy of something else and then bring it into our space in some way. So with water and moon water, the idea is that you are taking water and intentionally putting it in a vessel to charge under a full moon, whatever moon you want to charge it under, to be used for some purpose. That could be to water your plants. Maybe you're like, oh, it's a full moon, maybe like a full moon in Capricorn, and you are like, I just need to clean all the gunky energy out of off my desk at work or something and really focus, get down to business. And you charge up your cleaner or some water and make it into a cleaner or something. Or you water your plant at work with it for some of that Capricorn CEO energy. Whatever. You can do what you want with it. And you can do that with any sort of liquid. And the idea is that we are just taking, we're harnessing that energy. That's what witchery, you know, is really, is creating your future with your energy. And you are harnessing the energy of something. So if you use gems or crystals to charge up water, that you're kind of infusing it with the essence of that. That said, there are some poisonous crystals, so put them on the outside, just near your vessel, not
or
in
ones
it.
That like disintegrate.
Yeah.
In water.
Yeah, disintegrate in water. You never just want to just throw stuff in water. Always, if you're
going to
drink it.
Check out the hardness of your crystals.
If you're going to drink it in particular, make sure you're not drinking things that are not good for you. Or ruining your crystals that you spent money on.
You know what's particularly hard? Harvesting what? Like storm water. Like when it's raining and like thundering
you
and lightning.
I have no idea
you
how
need,
many
like, a pool.
Weird instances Anna and I have had where we live in Connecticut, there's not that many thunderstorms. I mean, they happen, but it's not like in the Midwest, the thunderstorms are
a thing
here in the US or other parts of the country, I'm sure. But where we are, thunderstorms, like if one's rolling in, it's like there's a thunderstorm coming, you know, we don't typically have them. So we're out there with all these jars trying to collect the like 3 raindrops that might possibly land in the jar.
And then you have to make sure that you bring them in right away so they don't evaporate.
I know.
And lose all your storm water.
It's an ordeal. And then when they come and I'm like, why don't we have any empty vessels? My husband's like, what even are you talking about?
You need
about?
Like a baby pool.
Like, it's none of your business what I'm talking about. All you need to know is I need an empty vessel.
I think it's important to know, too, that if you're trying to get moon water, back to moon water, that you don't have to do it, like, the night of. Like, if you miss the full moon and you were like, I wanted to charge this bottle of water, you can do it the night after.
I told you it could be a whole episode just on moon water.
Yeah, and you can't do it wrong. It could be in a ball jar, it could be in a teacup, it could be in a baby pool, it could be in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It could have crystals, it could not have crystals. There's really no wrong way.
Well, maybe not like toilet water. That would be weird.
I mean, that's clean water.
No, it's not. It's in a toilet. What's wrong with you?
When it comes up, it's clean water. I guess it depends on the cleanliness of your toilet.
What's happening in your brain
right now? I don't know.
Now.
Why did you bring up toilet water?
You said like anything and not anything. Okay. We're having too many laps today.
Please.
All right, the next one, the word ritual. This could also be an entire podcast episode.
It could be.
We have episodes for years to come. All right, so quick nitty gritty on a ritual. A ritual at its core is something you do over and over again, right? When you say, we have a family ritual of this, or like this is like a daily ritual that you do with your tea or your coffee or something. When it comes to a magical practice, we also see the word used as part of creating ceremony for oneself. The idea is that the ritual that you create, it is meant to bring you to center, to harness that energy again, to be done with purpose and intention. So we can create rituals or do ritual, perform ritual for a purpose, right? So, like, at the moons, maybe you have a new moon ritual that you love to do, and maybe that involves tools and steps, maybe it doesn't. But it's something that is done. The idea of ritual is to slow you down and to have you be present in what you're doing with the purpose of it being more effective.
Right.
Due to having slowed down and paying attention.
Yes. But they're not always necessary. I think that that's a common misconception early on, too, that, like, if you're going to pull cards for somebody, you have to have, like, a ritual beforehand to make the space for that. And that's not always the case. You know, like, no. You don't have to have a full-blown ritual.
But maybe you want to.
Hmm.
All right, the next one. Grid.
Get off my grid, yo.
Grill.
Don't some people say grid?
I don't know. I mean, not, yeah, I know.
You know what I think? You know who says that? Our mother.
She probably does. She's always like one step off of how it actually is.
I actually all of a sudden am having an epiphany that I would bet legit dollars that mom says that.
Probably.
That's where I got it from.
Okay. So a grid, much like moon water ritual, it's this idea of centering and focusing an energy. So you can grid your entire house. You can have a little crystal grid. You can make grids with acorns and sticks and leaves. You can make grids with whatever. But typically they have some kind of center point to them, which is like the drawing in and amplifying of the energy. But you're putting pieces together in such a way as to do something with intention. Again, you can grid your body. You can grid whatever you want to grid, I suppose.
Maybe we can draw a grid on my stomach that says get out.
Maybe. Probably not. All right.
But if I do it with intention.
I don't know. Don't do that right now. I'm in no position to
catch
a baby. I had this like thought earlier that if I took you out in my car and then you were walking back into my car and then your water broke on the parking lot. What I was going to do...
If you had to put me back in your car?
Yeah. Like, how I should start carrying towels or something.
I thought you said you had puppy pads.
I do have a puppy pad in my car.
See? There you go.
Although I don't have a puppy, but I... Or a dog, for that matter.
You use them for the children.
I do. Well, with the COVID and we go hiking, all of the porta potties are closed and, like, the bathrooms at the state parks. So I bring one of those toddler potty chairs... And then I line it with a puppy pad, and I have them pee on the... I put the seat in the car. I know. Someone just clicked out of this and was like, I hate these two. It's necessary information, though. These are trying times. I will not be locked down due to trying times. I will bring a portable toilet for my children.
I think you need to stop accusing people of exiting the podcast, I feel like.
I know. Well, it's a thing. You know, when you get a lot of troll emails in, like, 1 month... Just really gets inside your brain.
just stay in your lane, Sarah.
I am.
Remember?
Anyway, we do have a puppy pad. But it was a thought that I had where I was like, Anna, what would I do with Anna? I can't make her walk home.
I know. When we were hiking the other day, or like walking, Chad was like, what if I had to carry you back to the car? And I'd be like, you'd be soaked.
Yeah.
That'd be really unfortunate for you. It's kind of brisk to be carrying me while also getting wet.
Yeah. Anyway, crone, that's our next word.
Crone.
So this is one, we chose this word because it does come up from time to time in our class groups.
It does.
Holistic Witchery and an Enchanted Journey, where someone says it and somebody else has a different opinion about it, or someone's like, I don't think I can relate to this because I'm a crone, or I do think because I'm a crone, and then it's just a thing that comes up for discussion. So crone is a wise
woman.
And I think that just because a person is of a certain age does not mean that they are having to identify as a crone figure. And the crone figure gets a negative connotation in almost all of pop culture, all of fairy tales and myth and lore. So I think a lot of people don't want that association. And crone it's a beautiful word, and it's a beautiful phase of life. But it's not one that you there's not a time when you're like, oh man, I just had my crone birthday. You know, it's a sense of being. Mm-hmm. It's a sense of...
We have a whole unit in our Enchanted Journey membership about the maiden, the mother, and the crone.
That we do.
And maiden, mother, and crone in fairy tales, in Arthurian legend, and mythology.
We do.
We do.
It's good stuff. So, a misconception that it's a bad thing, and also that you just suddenly age into being a crone. Neither of those are true.
Right. And I think it's one of those instances where, like, there's room to navigate, like, what that word means to you. Like, how we have a podcast of, like, what the word witch means to us. I think that you could insert that same idea into what does the word crone mean to us. And because it's different depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. And how you identify with that, I think. It can be very independent.
Yeah.
Individual.
True. All right. Next, the word altar.
I just hear you yelling at me for spelling it wrong.
Listen, I am going to be high and mighty for a second. Every time I see the word altar spelled with an E at the end, A-L-T-E-R, a piece of my magical soul just, well, it doesn't die. I don't know what it does. It's like a plant that hasn't had water in a week. It sort of wilts, and then it just bounces back up. It's
fine. Sarah?
It's really fine. But the word altar and alter, they're two different words. Like, alter a dress is E-R. Alter, like, sacred space is A-R.
Okay, English teacher.
I know. I'm not even that great at grammar, and I was an English teacher, and nor am I that great at spelling. But for some reason, that one just
gets me. Irks you.
It does. And Anna and Megan made a piece of information recently, and they wrote the word alter in it, and it had the E-R, and I sent them each a message. declaring
I have taken
that it was not
responsibility
the right
that if it's grammatically incorrect or the wrong form of there has been used, that it was definitely my fault, and I'm working on it.
I'm taking steps.
And by steps, I'm guessing and changing it up here and there and not just defaulting to one type.
Hoping it lands correctly.
And it's the right one.
25% of the time.
I've got that Grammarly on all of my things. And all it did was really just jack up all of my technology.
Right. Altar. So an altar is
spelled with an A-R.
It's a sacred space. But again, it's all, see, there's a theme here. It's all focused intention. Right? Like a focal point of intention and energy and harnessing energy and helping you to stop and connect to what it is that you want. And that is what an altar is for. You can have an altar around your ancestors or and like offering to the fairies or just with your magical things that you love. You can have a crystal altar. You can have
an abundance
altar, whatever. But the idea is that it's a place that's your place where you invite yourself to be with your future, to be with what you're releasing, what you're creating, and to remind you to pause and put yourself where you want to be, right?
Mm-hmm. I think a common theme here, too, is that they're not mandatory.
Yeah. No, like, I hear this, too. People feel really defeated because they see others sharing, like, this beautiful cultivated altar space or sacred space, right? And they're like, I don't have that, so this obviously I don't belong here or something. And I'll tell you, my house it's about 1500 square feet. It is one story, just plain old ranch house, and we homeschool and work from home, and it is there is not a space for me to just have some very large cultivated calming sacred space of intention. So for me, that looks like a candle and a crystal, you know, on the shelf, and a little dish of herbs and like a little vial of water or something with a crystal on this shelf or on this part of the kitchen counter or wherever. That's
That's what that looks like.
Yeah, you're never sure if Sarah has, if like they're leftovers from baking on her counter, or if it's like a tiny altar, or it could be both, or it could be a homeschool project. You're never really sure. Like, is this witchery or homeschool?
Which brings me to our next word, salt.
Which segue.
Everybody knows what salt is, but salt in magical practices. So I included this because you know what salt is, but there was this, somebody posted today in one of our class groups about a salt circle for protection that somebody asked this woman if she had garlic hanging, a salt circle, what else? It was like a bunch of things. And
wards.
Yeah, and we were like, it sounds like they've just watched too many movies. like that person who asked the question. Not our community member, the person who asked it of them. And this was a segue because currently if you go to my house, there are like 4 vessels of salt on the counter. One is my kid's homeschool project. One is just like a little tiny, it's just like a little dish with like a pinch of salt in it, which is just, you know, a shout out to absorbing negative energy. And then there is like literal just for food salt. And they're all on the same counter. So how would one know which is which? I know. I guess nobody else would know. Anyway, so salt is, it is known to...
For its protective...
Its protective qualities.
Right.
And absorbing negative sort of energies, which is also why we take, like, Epsom salt baths.
Right.
To, like, release the toxins.
Draw it out,
right? So you do not need to have salt things everywhere.
Right.
If you feel like... Maybe everyone in your house is just arguing a lot and you want to just put a little salt in a little dish next to a rose quartz next to it with a rose scented candle or something. And you're like, I am going to absorb all of the negative energy and I'm going to amplify all of this love energy into this house. You know, and again, all of this is it's you connecting to that energy. It's you stopping to remember. I see that little thing I set up. I am dispelling negative energy here, and I'm amplifying peace in our living room.
And it also doesn't have to be any kind of salt. So, like, some people say black salt, some people, you know, it can also just be, like, whatever kind of salt you have.
Except for salty attitude.
Ba-dum-bum. So there's no shame in your salt game. Just whatever salt you have is adequate salt.
Salt. And our last word is the word muggle.
Muggle.
I catch so much flack for using the word muggle.
We do.
I have had people berate me and send me unkind emails over using the word muggle.
Yes.
And you know what? I still use it. Because... it's my choice. No. So muggle, if you don't know what that is, it's from Harry Potter, which I understand is not for everybody. And I understand that some people, that might sound childish. But I do think that Harry Potter is pretty interwoven in lots of what just like pop culture in the U.S. and... Mm-hmm. You know, something most of us can identify references to. Anyway, it's a non-magical person. The same as mundane.
Right.
Basically, I could use mundane or muggle interchangeably.
Right. And we use it a lot to differentiate, you know, like for people. Like when I was part-time at the Sisters Enchanted, but I was still working like a 9-to-5.
Your muggle job.
My muggle jobs, like my day-to-day job. And then I had my magical Sisters Enchanted job. So it's just a word that...
It does. A lot of our community members use it for that way. My muggle job.
Right.
Whatever. But no, we don't, I was going to say we don't walk around with like cloaks and, but.
We kind of do.
That's untrue. I wore a cloak to the playground yesterday.
You did.
So I guess we don't walk around pretending we are playing Quidditch or anything like that. That's not happening yet. My kid is obsessed with Harry Potter. But, of course, I cultivated that obsession.
Indeed.
Purposefully.
Yes. Well, it's been good, except when she was trying to curse my son, which was...
Yeah. That was dicey.
I had to tell her that killing curses don't make friends. Like, more than once in one playdate. Like, you know,
Sarah, Scarlett's trying to put a killing curse on me.
You know that your kids are strangely behaved when you're yelling things like, killing curses don't make friends. How would you like it if he did that to you?
Oh my gosh, our lives. Anyway, so yes, the word muggle is a non-magical person. I fully realize it's a Harry Potter word. I own that. I don't know. I guess that's all I got to say about it.
Yes.
But it is a word you'll hear us say. So if you're not a person who's ever realized or seen or knows 0% about it.
Because we did have a couple threads recently of people asking us what that meant.
We did, yeah. And so, I was like, how does one not know that? But not everybody's the same. So there we go.
There we go.
There you have it. So there are some witch words for you. We went through coven, moonwater, ritual, grid, altar, salt, and muggle.
Muggle.
Demystifying some common witch things.
Yes.
On this day.
Indeed.
All right, then. Well, we'll just end it there. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Magic on the Inside podcast. We hope that you maybe had some myths debunked or some new ideas about how things can be in your magical practice from listening into this episode. Totally leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that, and it goes a long way in helping us to keep making the podcast and get it out there for more people to listen to. You can follow along with us over at thesistersenchanted.com/blog. That's thesistersenchanted.com/blog. And until next time, I hope that you have an enchanted rest of your day ahead.